One of my great fears as a pastor is that when I'm out in public, that I might encounter one of you, a member of the congregation, and not recognize you. This could take place at Kroger, maybe at the airport, maybe at a big concert in Nashville. I'd come around a corner and face to face, and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Now, the reason that I wouldn't recognize you is that you would be out of context. I wouldn't expect to see you at that place. If you came around the corner here in a church, I'd know exactly who you were. You're here in familiar surroundings. Now, I certainly could be wrong about this, but to my knowledge, I have never not recognized a church member. To my knowledge. The reverse has happened to me, though, on several occasions over the years when someone would run into me and they couldn't place me just right away. I might be at the hardware store on a Saturday morning, and a person will look at me and give me that look and say, "Don't I know you? I've seen you somewhere." And eventually it will get around to me telling them that I am the pastor at the Presbyterian Church. Oh, yeah, they'll say, I remember. And then you'll see that look in their face, in their eyes, and they're thinking to themselves, they don't say this out loud, well, no wonder I didn't recognize this guy. He's completely out of context. And here he is in the hardware store on a Saturday morning wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops and a Pink Floyd concert t-shirt from 1980. He could use a shave, too. Heavens, his mother wouldn't recognize this guy. But then we part ways with a smile and a handshake, and I tell that person that I look forward to seeing them in church again, probably at Easter. Our reading today is from Luke's gospel, and it's the story of the walk to Emmaus. And as you recall, Jesus has been executed. He was crucified on the day before the Sabbath, and on the day after the Sabbath, at dawn, the women, who are among the disciples, go to the tomb where Jesus' corpse has been placed in order that they may make the preparations for a proper burial. They were not able to do this earlier because he was placed in the tomb late in the day, and they had the Sabbath the next day and had to rest on that day. So early on the day after the Sabbath, they go with their ointments and spices to prepare the body. When they get to the tomb, they discover that the body is missing. There are two angels there, and they ask why the women are looking for the living among the dead. The women rush back to tell the others, but no one believes them because their story is simply too preposterous. Our reading for today takes place later on that same day, and it focuses on two of Jesus' followers. These two, one is named Cleopas, the other is unidentified, presumably are headed home from being in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And following the unexpected defeat of the one who promised salvation to the world, Cleopas and his companion appear to be just calling it quits. For if the world refuses to see the potential for good that they had seen, then there's nothing more that they can hope to do. They're going to go home and resume their lives. But as they travel down that road, they are discussing among themselves the events of the past few days, the lies, the deceit, the violence that they've witnessed. And as they walk, a stranger joins them. It is Jesus. But for some reason, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And this stranger asks what they've been talking about as they walked, and that causes them to come to a full stop. And sadness overwhelms their faces. And then with open bewilderment, Cleopas asks the man, Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place there the past couple of days? And the stranger asked, what things? As if he didn't know. And the two answer him and tell him a story. The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. They crucified him. Now, we had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And now it's been 3 days since he died. Some women who were in our group went to the tomb early this morning, but the body was missing. And the women told the rest of us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. And some of us went down to the tomb and checked it and found it just as the women had said. So then the stranger, walking down the road with these two, he says, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary, he said, that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then the stranger begins to teach the two about Moses and the prophets and the words of Scripture that witness to the Savior. Finally, the trio arrives at the day's destination, and the stranger walks on as if he's going to continue, but the two beg him to stay with them. They are hungry to hear more. At dinner, while they are at the table together, the stranger picks up the bread and he says a blessing over it. And he breaks it and he gives it to the others. And when he did this, the two recognized the stranger for who he was. And then Jesus was not there. The two admitted among themselves that the whole time that the stranger had been speaking, that their hearts had indeed burned within them. And even though it's late in the day now, they get up and hurriedly make the trip back to Jerusalem. And there they find the disciples and the others, and from them they hear similar stories. The Lord has risen indeed. Now, one of the things I like about this story that Luke gives us, and Luke is the only one with this story, is that these two on the road that Jesus encounters, they're not special. We have never heard of Cleopas before, and we won't hear his name again. The other, we have no idea who that was. And you would expect that Jesus would appear. If Jesus is going to rise from the dead and appear to his followers, he's going to go to one of the 12. Well, maybe not Judas now, but certainly Simon Peter or James or John. That's his first string players. But instead, Jesus appears to a couple of bench warmers who don't even recognize him. And for me, this is a message of hope, that Jesus is available to all who believe, not just the spiritual elite. Now, the question is, why didn't these two recognize Jesus on the road? We don't know. Maybe it was the context. Certainly the last person they expected to see that day was Jesus. After all, he was dead and buried. Or as some suggest, maybe Jesus looked different, that he was unrecognizable. Dying apparently does strange things to you. We don't know. The point I want to make is that for these two, Jesus really was out of context. It's not just that they didn't expect to see him, it's that as the risen Lord, they don't know who he is. The Christ had not yet been revealed to them. Revelation is an inspired understanding of God and Christ. And for those who have not experienced God's revelation, then Jesus will always be out of context. For those without revelation, Jesus might be a prophet, a martyr, a teacher, someone certainly to look up to. But without revelation, he's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior or the Son of God. And in this story, Luke lays out some rules for revelation. I mean, remember, Luke is offering this gospel as a teaching tool. He is teaching his people about Jesus. And you can be sure that some have asked the question, what is revelation? And Luke is asserting here that it's not enough simply to know the facts of Jesus' life. Cleopas and his friend, they could recite those facts. They did in our reading. They told us that Jesus was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. He was crucified, he was buried, but the body wasn't found. Angels declared that indeed he was alive. And this is a clear and concise synopsis of Jesus' life. But according to Luke, it's not yet revelation. I'm sure there were some in Jesus' congregation who claimed that, yes, they knew Jesus because they knew about him. But Luke is insisting that this is not enough. And as Luke teaches in this story, one must also know the ancient scriptures and understand how these give witness to Jesus. Moses and the prophets point to Jesus as Savior. If followers of Jesus know his story, that he lived and suffered, and if they know the scriptures which point to him as Savior, then they are open to Christ being revealed to them in the sacraments. In our story, as Cleopas and his friend walk along, they tell the stranger the story of Jesus. But then Jesus offers them the interpretation of the Old Testament, which points back to him. And then, when they come to the table, the sacramental meal begins when Christ sits and picks up the bread, offers a blessing to God, breaks it, and gives it to them. And in doing this, Christ is revealed to all who gather at his table. For those who previously could not see, we now learn their eyes were opened and they recognized him. As one theologian puts it, the disciples have now experienced Christ in word and sacrament. Back in chapter 10 of Luke's gospel, Jesus informed the disciples, "No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself." These appearances of Jesus, Luke tells us, will continue for 40 days. Jesus will appear to different people. Luke has taught us about Jesus, his life and his ministry. He has outlined the expectations placed upon those who wish to follow Jesus. He has described how Jesus had to suffer and die, and now in the defeat of death, he shows us how we may truly see the Christ, that we may truly be his disciples. And finally, I want to ask that as you live your lives as disciples, that you purposely live out of context. The job of a disciple of Christ is not to blend in with the world, but to live beyond this world, beyond the context of the world. I would urge you to live in such a way that when the world looks at you, the world's not sure if it knows who you are, because you're not doing the things of the world, that you're out of context, that you are different from the world, because instead, you will be doing the things of Christ. Amen.